Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, Michael's back. Okay, Michael's here. I'm so excited because, you know, I love this hour, the Mom and Michael hour, with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. He has a degree in film and television production, and he is our film critic right here at WCCO. And there's so much more to talk about with movies in just a moment, but we got to talk about the Grammys. How's my son doing?
I am fantastic. And, you know, I wish I would have seen all the Grammys, but I just caught maybe the last 20 minutes of them. But thankfully, since I actually bought this new Spectrum TV option where I can I basically stream TV through the internet to my actual television, I'll be able to watch it on demand and go watch it from the beginning later tonight.
Okay, first of all, you haven't seen the clothes where all the men look like they're normal except for a few? And all the women look like they are in some fun house in a really scary movie?
I'm loving it.
You are loving it? It's so theatrical.
That's why I'm loving it, and I am intensely envious of the amount of sequins that the men in the audience are wearing, because we all, you know, I love sequins. And there's so much of it in season right now. Dolce & Gabbana, Prada, Gucci, there's all these tuxedos and suits with these amazing embroideries that are, of course, fantastic for the stage. And I've been seeing them in stores here in Los Angeles for quite some time, but they're all like $5,000-$6,000 plus. And of course, I don't care how much they cost,
Michael. They look ridiculous. Like Fantastic Negrito. You know who that is?
Fantastic
Negrito. I don't know. But he has on an orange suit with all this amazing embroidery on it. But the legs are too short. It's like he's got bell-bottom pants. But I don't get it, honey. I'm so stunned. I've never seen this show. There's so many bird-like outfits. I mean, like, it's so disturbing.
But here's the thing. The person you just mentioned, Fantastic Negrito, whatever
yes.
it is, we had never heard of him, and now we're talking about him. So mission accomplished, because it's not just going to be you and I. It's going to be a ton of people who are going to talk about him, those crazy outfits. And people have been doing this for a long time.
And what's with the Pharrell hats? Like, J-Lo has this beautiful gown on with a Pharrell hat. You know, the big brim? It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
What has happened? You know, then there's the guy, Bambino, who won tonight. Oh, I didn't mean to tell you that. Okay, so he's like in a church robe. Like a black
church man,
you know, like a black preacher robe.
Is his name Bambino, or did you mean Childish Gambino?
Oh, no, this is another guy named Bambino.
Yeah, Childish Gambino was not at the ceremony tonight.
No, but he
won.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't there. He didn't pick up any of his awards.
So there's Gambino and Bambino, right? Who is Bambino?
I have no clue.
Can you look it up for me?
Because
he looks
idea.
Like a black church man with a scarf.
Is he like Jamaican?
I don't know, honey, but he's got sandals on. It must have been warm, huh?
I think I know what song he has, and I actually quite like it. So I don't know.
I bet people walk up to him and go, Gambino. No.
Yeah,
no.
You know I'm the other one. But you know what?
How do you spell it?
Bombino.
Okay, it looks like he's Nigerian.
Oh, cool.
And what's his hit song? Do you know, John?
I'm sorry, not Nigerian. It's kind of weird. I think he's not from Nigeria.
Right.
I think he's from Niger.
Oh, Niger. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So I think.
N-I-G-E-R.
Guess yeah, mm-hmm. And so I think it's also said Nigerian?
No.
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, that he would be called a
yeah.
Niger. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, because it says here, N-I-G-E-R-I-E-N.
Okay.
So
Nigerian, maybe.
I don't know.
Instead of Nigerian. Interesting. Okay, Michael, and then there's just a series of birds. We got peacocks. We got the abominable snowman. We have
really?
No, seriously. No, I'm not kidding you. And then this Isaac Powell has on an outfit where it looks like his striped underwear are falling off.
Maybe it is.
He left his pants at home.
So here's the thing. Since the Grammys, of course, are here in Los Angeles this
mm-hmm.
year,
mm-hmm.
The music crowd always comes into town this time of year. So I was at brunch earlier today, and there's a whole new contingent of these like really cool, hip young people, and they're just dripping in Gucci and diamonds. And you can always tell because it's a very like East Coast vibe, and just though you know, music has a wardrobe, especially R&B and top 40 radio. And they come through, and I actually like it because I got to see some of that parade of labels and fashion. I saw face tattoos at brunch this morning.
Uh-huh.
I saw all kinds of jewelry I hadn't seen in quite some time. And just, again, an excessive, really an egregious amount of Gucci. I saw a guy with Dolce & Gabbana shoes where it said Dolce all over it. His pants said Dolce down the side. He had a Dolce shirt and a Dolce a leather jacket on top of that. So he was wearing about $15,000 of clothing just for brunch today. And I was like, oh, it's the Grammys today.
Did someone pay them to wear that? Did Dolce & Gabbana, like, pay them to wear that? Because I'm going to have it all over me, you have to pay me for that.
Right,
I'm a walking advertisement for you.
For some reason, for people who are in music, there's this there's more of an allowance to be edgier. You can wear huge labels, and it's more, it kind of goes with the trend of that industry. Now, of course, this isn't everyone, but just like what you're saying with the outfits you've seen so far from the Grammys, these outfits are wild and extreme and seemingly crazy at times, but that's kind of, from what I've seen, a huge part of the music side, especially on the artist side, where you can just be loud and flashy, and it's kind of cool. And
it's kind of like Bootsy and all of that, right? You know, P-Funk, yes. That's how they dress. I mean, yes. You got a guy in a big, gigantic diaper. Okay, yes. I get that, Michael. At the same time, I mean, Dionne Warwick looks out of place. It looks like she's going to a really expensive brunch. And then you've got this woman named Tierra Whack that has on a peacock coat that with a dress or something under it that looks like the mural you and Joey saw at the Broad Museum.
Oh.
No, I'm not kidding you. You have to look this stuff up. It's just unbelievable. I'm trying to figure out, what did y'all drink?
But wait a minute. None of this compares to, or rather, some of it is at least on par with the 80s. I mean, let's just talk about the crazy fashion of the music scene in the 80s, especially the like mid to late 80s.
Like Madonna kind of crazy stuff?
Yes. Madonna had crazy things. I've seen old pictures of you.
Of what? Me? Did you say me?
Yeah,
I mean, I admit my hair was crazy, but not. Michael, here's the thing. This is the Grammy Awards, right?
Yes.
It's a grand, and I know that you can take some liberty to really go all out. I really do get that. I mean, there are some African-inspired outfits that are really just quite remarkable. But this year, usually women have their boobs out. Like I was saying, Jennifer Lopez was completely covered up. Remember her green, what was it, Versace dress?
Yeah,
remember that? And she was standing on stage going, I just don't know what people are so excited about. Really?
Yeah, she knows.
You know? And so this year, it's all these cutouts. So this woman that's on the, what is it called? The Real, which is on, it's a talk show on television with, it's kind of like a younger View.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a woman named Jeannie, is it Jeannie Mae? Jeannie Mae? Are you listening to me? Are you
I'm listening.
Me?
I don't know.
Okay.
Jeannie Mae.
Jeannie Mae, it is Jeannie Mae.
Or Jeannie.
I don't know
Jeannie
how.
Mai.
Jeannie Mai. I don't know how she's holding her clothes up. It's cut out. It's like I took one of my dolls and took their clothes off, and I cut it up and pasted it on them so that a lot of skin is showing. A lot.
But again,
so if you sit down and get up, and the rest of your outfit is on the seat, I'm just wondering what they're gonna do.
But again, you mentioned a star who we haven't heard of, who isn't a household name yet. And they have to find a way to cut through. Now, I don't think that a person has to get naked to do that. But if that was her choice, that was her choice. And, yeah, if you have a crazy outfit that's, you know, glued onto your body, but you look great in it, that's a really strong way to make sure that people know who you are.
Okay, so you look great in it. That's where we have some points of contention here. Because there's a Taylor Parks, TaylaParx. You ever heard of Taylor Parks? Can you look that up, Jonathan, and tell us who she is and what, you know, is she a performer? Is she part of a group? I mean, she, honestly, Michael, it's like, what drug are you on right now? I don't understand it.
Is it Taylor Parks?
It's Taylor, T-A-Y-L-A, and then the last name is P-A-R-X. And like you say, Michael, they're talking about them now, right? If it's a fantastic outfit. I don't know anyone that would think this is a fantastic outfit. But who am I?
She's written for Janelle Monáe.
Oh, yeah. Janelle Monáe is on here, too.
Anderson .Paak. Anderson.Paak.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's growing right now.
I just want to fly to L.A. right now and just give her a hug because I'm thinking she's missing out on some love.
Well, I've been to the Grammys once. Mm-hmm. Of course, as you know, I wasn't in the audience. I was stuck backstage, which is a whole other story. But it was amazing and really fun, and the energy in there is incredible. And it's one of those environments where you want to wear something crazy and edgy because you can, as long as it's high fashion, as long as it looks interesting.
That's what I'm talking about, though, high fashion. Can we get back to the Taylor Parks woman?
I'll have to go look at what she's wearing.
You really need to look it up, son. It's like someone cut out, like you make something in art when you're in sixth grade. I don't know. And I love that they are accomplished, but I don't know why they would wear some things. I mean, there are some people in fans. It looks like a fan. It looks like a fan to me. And then there's Leon Bridges. Do you know who Leon Bridges is?
I do. He's fantastic, yes.
And so what is he fantastic at?
He is a singer and a guitarist. And he does like a blues R&B hybrid.
Oh, I know who that is.
Really great stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to look up his outfit because it looks like he's been to a truck stop. And he picked up a jacket and trousers that construction people would wear. And please forgive me for being so judgmental with this, but I'm trying to figure out what am I missing. And on this suit, it says Leon, it says Texas, it says it has poker cards and it just,
Texas Hold'em.
Texas Hold'em. It's, yeah.
But again, you aren't missing anything. The wardrobe for the Grammys is formal, of course. But if you're an artist, it's whatever formal means to your brand. So none of this is by accident. It's not as if he didn't spend literally months choosing what he was going to wear to the Grammys. As soon as the nominations came out, all these artists had a team of stylists, sometimes just one, sit down and show them and racks upon racks of very expensive options. Some of them created their own outfits, but a lot of thought went into crafting their image at this presentation.
Well, it feels to me like they are at the Met. The Met Gala. Like Janelle Monáe, I mean, she's got these really contemporary spikes on her dress and, fringe down at the bottom. It's really, she's pretty in it. She's got a church hat on. I mean, I'm looking like, somebody about to stand up and start shouting in church. I'm trying to figure it out.
There's not a lot of, I'm seeing some of the artists that are winning awards.
Yeah.
And some of them have some formal wear to them. Some of them don't. The person I'm looking at right now that's accepting an award, she is not formal. That is not a formal outfit.
Okay, it doesn't have
to be formal, I don't think, does it?
The woman who's on right now, I think her dress is Versace. Yes, there's giant golden safety pins holding parts of the dress together, but I think it's all Versace. So if the style now is to be a retro loud 90s and it's still sparkling and still formal and it's, again, that's a very well put together outfit, that's great. And I think I have more tolerance or rather leeway to judge these people less because I wear crazy things on stage and I love it.
This is true. You did come out twirling in a Santa suit of sequin.
I will say this. This will be interesting because some people may not want to have this sort of spread around to get the eyeballs on it. It appears that there were a couple of people at the red carpet that wore some very provocative outfits.
Well, that's not unusual.
One had a jacket that says Make America Great Again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And another had a couple of dresses, one that said Make America Great Again, and the other one that says Build the Wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they were making their statements. And that's really common, right, Michael? At the Grammys, people make statements with their clothes. Political statements, I should say.
I'd say that I don't see as much politics at the Grammys as I do other places, other award shows. But in this case, again, going back to my same conversation about branding and whatnot, if you're a huge Trump supporter and you're going to the Grammys and the center point of anti-Trumpism, which is L.A., that's a really great way to cut through and to start those conversations and to make everyone there know what you stand for and to support your base. So I'm not mad at them so much either, because they're doing the same thing as the others who are wearing no clothing or crazy things. They're branding themselves, just using the platform to say, this is who I am. This is what represents me. And even though I think, of course, MAGA is repugnant and it represents bigotry and hate, so on and so forth, I see why they're doing it. It's all about marketing.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Cardi B. She looks like the time of the Ziegfeld Follies or a time Art Deco age. Her dress looks like she would be standing on top of a coffee table and posing. And she looks beautiful. It's beautiful, but it is so unique and so strange. I don't know how she sat down or how anyone behind her or anyone next to her could sit next to her. She needed like her own bench. It's a remarkable piece. I would see a piece like that in a movie, and then they could probably get an award for something like that. It's an amazing piece, but it's so unrealistic. But then so was Bootsy Collins and George Clinton and
we could go on and on and on.
Queen and David Bowie.
For Prince wore pants on stage with the backside cut out.
Wasn't that joyful for me? I'm just saying. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah,
but when he did that, he turned around. It was scandalous. I mean, it was a really, really big deal that he wore those outfits and that he was androgynous in the way that he was back then, before it became kind of the new it thing for a lot of younger people to do. And I don't mean to say that to demean anyone, but it's much less of a stigma to wear cross-gendered clothing now as it was back then. And he just was his completely authentic self, and it was amazing. And that's in part what made him so magnetic and incredible.
Do you remember when I received as a gift, and I can't remember who gave it to me in the family, but it was from Jamaica or the Bahamas, but it was this African woman or maybe a Jamaican woman with the headdress on, and then the bottom of her was where you stuff bags in them. I had it hanging up in our kitchen for a while. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it would bellow out more and more as you put bags in it.
Yeah.
There's a woman named Katy Perry. Know her? Beautiful. And she's in an outfit that reminds me of that outfit. I mean, really, where it's like she's carrying a lot of bags under there.
I don't know. I see it. Yes. This is very much the Met from music.
It is. It really is. You're right.
I think it's creative. I think it's a wonderful outlet to wear those things. Again, there are designers all around the world that make these outfits that are really walking pieces of art, and they should be looked upon and discussed as if they are art in many cases. And if you have a place to wear them, why not do it?
Why not? But do they have seats in the theater? Do they all stand? I'm trying to figure out, how do you sit? How do you sit down?
Mom, that's the magic of the Grammys. That's just the magic of Hollywood, where they find a way to function. And some of them actually have different outfits for the red carpet, for a performance, and then for afterwards, and for the after parties even. So they change multiple times throughout the evening.
So sitting in the audience, they might have not had these on.
Correct. They might have a different outfit on.
I just have to say, on a general note, that the internet is mean, and I'm going to share this meanness. I have looked up the Katy Perry dress that you have referred to, and people have mocked it for looking like pastries, especially Hostess Snowballs.
Aww.
But Katy Perry has worn countless ridiculous outfits in the past, and we've seen her in all sorts of
clouds
and cotton candy. We've seen her in all kinds of things.
Oh, cotton candy. He hit it on the head, didn't he? Yep, it's like
I'm not thinking about the dress she's wearing now. I'm saying in the past, we've seen her wearing lots of crazy outfits before.
Right. And then let's juxtapose that with Lady Gaga, who, you know, almost unrecognizable because she was in A Star is Born. Everyone knows her now with this without all the crazy makeup. And remember the meat dress?
Mm-hmm.
That was so disturbing. Yep. I mean, I have so many questions about how she sat down. And what happened when she sat down?
You know what? I think you just nailed it on the head. That's the best example of a recent time. She literally wore raw meat. That is not a formal outfit by any means, but it built her brand. She's now famous for it. When you mention her name, you think of probably that outfit first above any other she's worn. It's the raw meat.
She's worn it crazy. Yeah. But what about the woman who wore the American Express credit card dress?
Remember that? I forgot about that.
I don't know who she was anymore. I couldn't tell you who wore that dress. Do you know Jonathan? Okay, Jonathan's going to look it up for us. But, you know, there have been those that we remember and that we can't forget. Some of them are really disturbing. I'm going to have to watch something funny tonight because, you know, it gets Ashanti. You remember Ashanti, her music?
Whatever happened to her? Oh, you know, I think she got married to someone famous and they kind of, it's going off and doing her own thing now.
Yeah, she was at the Grammys, and she looks amazing, and it looks like she's wearing a cloud or a mattress pad. But either way, it's beautiful. It really is. So it looks like the Met. It looks like the Met Gala to me. So I think that's the way I'm going to look at this, because at first when I started looking at it, I started praying for people.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then you know who Ellie Mae is? M-A-I,
yes.
Ellie Mae?
Mm-hmm.
There must be 10 people under that dress. I'm terrible tonight, Michael.
I'm just saying, you and I both wear crazy things on stage. So I think,
you know, stop throwing me in that bucket.
I got it from you.
No,
I inherited the crazy outfits. You know,
I can wear crazy outfits like that, though, Michael.
Mom, you have an entire closet of sequins.
Yes, but they aren't crazy outfits.
Okay, not crazy, but they were stage pieces.
Okay, I had one made that was way wrong.
The kimono?
Well, no. Two.
I never saw that one. I actually never saw you in that outfit. I wasn't at that show.
Praise God.
I thought that's what
God.
You were going to talk about.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You just, it was just wrong.
So.
And then wait, Michael, with the kimono look, I put two chopsticks in my hair.
Yes,
like that
did.
Was like cool. Yeah, we have all had our faux pas. Okay, Jonathan?
So I found this woman. It actually was not a Grammy dress. It was an Oscar dress.
Oh,
wow.
The American Express dress.
Yes.
Who wore it?
A woman by the name of Lizzie Gardner. She is an Australian costume designer. This according to Wikipedia page, so
yeah.
Grain of salt. Who has been working in Hollywood since the early 90s, noted for her originality. She is best known for wearing her American Express gold card dress, which she wore to collect her Academy Award for Best Costume Designer at the 67th Academy Awards in 1995.
Yeah.
For her work on The Adventures of Priscilla.
Okay, don't remember the movie? She'll remember the dress.
That was the one with, no, wait.
Was there any lining under that dress? I don't remember there was. So how did she sit in?
Ooh,
so,
but there wait, better have been.
Hold on. If you're the costume director for a movie about drag queens, I think you're allowed to wear something edgier. And, of course, during the Oscars every year, those that are up for costume design usually have something eccentric on. In fact, they're usually the wildest outfit at the Oscars, which, of course, is a very formal event, are the costume team because that's their brand. They have to wear a costume because that's what they do.
And, of course, there is Kylie Jenner, who looks amazing in a really crazy outfit. I tell you, it's just like the Met. And then finally, I have to mention Toni Braxton. As you remember, after J-Lo wore the green Versace dress that she kind of thought, what's the big deal? Then remember Toni Braxton wore the white dress where it just went all the way. It just kept going up and, you know, exposure.
Yep.
It was quite remarkable. Well, tonight she was wearing a see-through, a diaphanous dress, kind of like Jennifer's, except it's all sequin, and you can see her breasts through it, and you know her blessings, just a little bit.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to watching it on demand later on. I want to see all these outfits. I've seen a few here and there, but I'm excited to see them all. I think it's inspiring. I think it's art. I think it's fun. I'm looking forward to going back to the Grammys one year, and I'm looking forward, most importantly, at going to one of these award shows and wearing my own crazy outfit so that we can talk about that.
We will talk about that, Michael. I won't be there with you, but I will be backing you up.
Oh no, you'll be right there. Like, I brought my mama. She pulled out one of her '90s outfits, and we match. It'd be perfect.
By the way, Alicia Keys wore no makeup, none.
She looked amazing.
She looked so beautiful, Michael. It was just so moving to see that. And, of course, our First Lady, Michelle Obama, made a surprise appearance on the stage. So you have to see it. All right, we got to take a break, pay some bills, and we'll come back with the movies in just a moment. It is now 10:36 here at WCCO. Welcome back to the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, from Los Angeles. Welcome back, son.
Thank you so much.
So I did find a little article that said the Internet is freaking out over Cardi B's Grammys look, and now I get it. It says here that she emerged on the 2019 Grammy Awards red carpet. People's jaws dropped at the sight of her in a 1995 designer dress by Mugler. A pink shell-like design embraced the star's petite waist with a black train elegantly sweeping into a mermaid gown. Basically, it's Ariel sitting in her shell, right? And I think it's really cool because she's got this crown of pearl that kind of matches the waist, the belt that's, you know, made of pearl as well. So that's really interesting. But it says she truly rocked the red carpet with the look as she posed with her husband, Offset. That's his name, Offset. You marry somebody, Offset? Really? That's his name? And they showed some major PDA, which they say may have been more shocking than the dress itself. But I do appreciate that. Like I said, it's like being at the Met Gala. I'm just looking for Sebastian. He should be on that shell thing. So.
His tuxedo should have been all red, you know. He had, could have had like a pin that was shaped like a claw or something. It would have been good.
Oh, man. Michael. Wow.
That's all I got.
Okay, that's all you got. Well, I can't wait for you to look at these clothes and we can talk about it tomorrow when I'm not on the radio. So forgive me for being so judgmental. That's not like me. But wow, these dresses this time really harken back to the 1970s. That is for sure. All of the disco outfits, all of that was there tonight. So, Michael, you know what time it is, right?
Yes.
Because when you do what you love, you're going to love
Michael
what you
loves
do,
what he does.
You know I do it
and he does
love.
It with love.
It's not I do it for
but
you.
I don't get it.
It's a dirty work.
It's a dirty, stanking, nasty work. But somebody's got to do it, and Michael is up to the task. And, of course, it's time for us to talk about movies, and there's a lot going on. I was a little surprised that this weekend's box office still didn't have the $60, $70 million bagging of some of these, you know, ticket holders, these movies that are making big money. But it wasn't as bad as it was last week, right?
Was it as bad as it was last week? However, this is usually a slow time of the year at the box office, so it isn't unusual that we aren't having huge films come out. It's often when a lot of smaller films choose to open during the year because they aren't competing with really big tentpole films that come out starting like April and go through and into the film and TV award season. Quick mention. That's kind of in part what made the release of Black Panther so interesting because it was released around this time in 2018. And, of course, that usually signals from a studio that they don't think it's going to do as well, or rather they aren't expecting it to hold a tentpole status and make that kind of money. I think Marvel put it in that month because it was Black History Month and also because the rest of their slate for the year was totally full. But it ended up being like the biggest film of that month ever, because films that come out in this month usually aren't that huge. So that kind of changed the game, and I've seen more films slated to come out during this month and coming years, because I think people have seen that there's a huge potential for earnings during that time period. So going back to the current opening, the Lego Movie 2, the second part, which I think is actually the Lego Movie 3, but of course they wanted to be clever with the name. Number one this weekend, $34.4 million. I did not get a chance to see that one, but I have seen all the previous entries in the franchise, and they're very fun films. I'll definitely probably go check this one out. It didn't open as well as the studio had hoped, which maybe, as some articles online are saying, it may be signal that the fan base might be dwindling. But I think it's just because people spent their money elsewhere. I think this film will probably stay in the top 10 for a long time. There isn't a lot of fare coming up for that market. So if it is as clever as the previous films in the franchise, I think it'll still do moderately well as it continues in the box office.
Yeah, Mike Mitchell was the director on this, and he didn't do the first Lego movie. So does that have something to do with it?
I'm not sure if people even recognize who the director is on this one versus the last one. It might just be like the shtick in this film was too much of the same. Mm-hmm. But again, I still have a warm, rosy feeling from the last films. They were funny, family-friendly, warm. So I think those sentiments regarding the franchise will hold this one in the top 10 for at least a few more weeks to come.
Yeah, I'm excited that Tiffany Haddish has a voice in this one, so... I do hope you'll get to go see it and check it out, you know, because her star is really rising, that's for sure. Michael, so the Lego Movie was at number one, and then it kind of dropped down to almost a $20 million difference with What Men Want. You had a chance to go see that.
Had a chance to go see this film starring Taraji P. Henson, and of course, a cast of other known names, including Kellan Lutz. And let me just go back over here because I feel like I can get this list of names in a better order than I have it right now.
While you're doing that, Michael, I want to ask you: would you say that Taraji P. Henson is now an A-lister in Hollywood?
No.
No.
I think an A-lister is a person who is charging like $20 million plus. And they have a worldwide presence, and you can open a film with them worldwide and make hundreds of millions of dollars. She is a megastar, and her films do well, but she doesn't have that sort of worldwide impact quite yet. I think she's on her way to getting there, though.
Okay. All right, I can handle that. All right, tell us more about this movie.
Okay, so more on the cast. That's Tracy Morgan, as I mentioned, Max Greenfield, my buddy Aldis Hodge, who I'm really excited for him to have this basically a lead role in this film. He did a fantastic job, so really cool to see him up there on the big screen. Will Packer produced this one. He's, I think, out of Atlanta, and I still don't know where he came from. I think he was an executive at a studio, and he blew up. The guy produces maybe 10 films a year and multiple TV shows. He's a mega producer, mostly doing content with a high amount of diversity. Yeah, in the films and TV shows that he works on. So you remember What Women Want, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The Mel Gibson. 2000 Mel Gibson film that went on to gross worldwide $374 million. It was a huge hit. I loved that film. It was charming. It was wonderful. So this is the, I guess, the female version of that, where she gets the same power to hear inside the minds of men only, and she tries to use that to help her and her career, since she works at a sports talent agency and is trying to break into the boys' club. And she's very good at her job, but she's being kept out from certain opportunities because it's all men, as she thinks, holding her back.
Sounds like Empire.
her character in this movie is a bit more refined than Cookie on Empire, but unfortunately it's also a bit more boring. The whole film, actually, is just really slow and really boring. And it's unfortunate because, as I mentioned, Aldis is good, she's good, Tracy Morgan is good. The individual performances are actually entertaining, and they're good actors, and the script isn't all that bad, but it really here is the direction. The director failed on this film in so many ways. Adam Shankman, who this is like his seventh or eighth film, he just failed. That really, this is a textbook case of how to ruin a film with bad directing. All the shots are held too long. The pacing is completely off, and off isn't the word. It really just isn't paced. It's just excruciatingly slow, as I mentioned. It felt like it was 2 hours long, even though it wasn't. And all of the best jokes are in the trailer.
You
watch the trailer, which I thought the trailer was hilarious. I loved it. My friends loved it. I was like, okay, I have to go see that movie because it had a really great trailer. And not only are those the funniest jokes in the film, but some of the jokes in the trailer are actually lines combined from different scenes or different parts of the same scene, rather, combined to make a joke that's funnier than it actually ends up being in the film.
Oh, my gosh. That's painful, Michael. So how in the world did that happen? Is that the norm for a movie like this? Or, would you say that it's all the director's fault? And so because we've had seen other movies like that are packed with stars in it, but the movies just didn't do that well. So would you say this is really has something that would fall on the director to take the blame?
The other films that we've seen that are packed with stars and don't do well are often because of the script or because they simply don't have enough time in the film to give all of the stars the screen time that they want, and therefore the story suffers. Whereas here, it's not the script was fine, I guess. It was just the direction. Yes, it's all the director's fault because the story was there. All the elements were there. This could have been a wonderful movie. It could have been charming. It could have been heartwarming. It could have been as fun and charming as the original Mel Gibson version. But it wasn't because in any warm moments or moments of real heart and levity, are watered down by the sheer amount of time it takes to get from one joke to the other, or one line to the other. It's just slow pacing, and that is exclusively the job of the director, to direct the actors on the actual pacing of the lines themselves, and then in the editing room to cut the film, as we say, in a way that helps the narrative. And all of those things didn't happen, so this is a, I think, true failure on the part of the director.
Do you think if who's the one behind Madea? I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, Tyler Perry. Yeah.
Do you think if he had taken this movie and directed it and produced it, do you think it would have had a different outcome?
That's the craziest part. Yes. Even if Tyler Perry, even though his films can be excruciatingly based at times, even if he had directed this, I think it would have had more heart, a better crafting of the storyline, better pacing, and I wouldn't have been so bored. And I frankly, I would have had more laughs. So, yeah, I think that is a great example of there was a laundry list of individuals of all colors who could have done a much better job with this. But unfortunately, this is what we got.
And Richard Roundtree made a surprise appearance in the movie, I heard. Of course, he played Shaft in the 70s. We thought he was so fine, fully dressed.
Yeah, he's in there. And, of course, there's a new Sam Jackson Shaft sequel coming out. So Samuel L. Jackson did the Shaft reboot in the, I think, early 2000s. And so there's a sequel to that now coming out soon. And the trailer for that film played ahead of this movie. So it makes sense that he is in this project. If nothing else, kind of a reintroduction to him to the industry and to the audience.
I don't want to talk about it. That's Samuel L. Jackson, you said, right?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a break. This is the Mom and Michael
Hour. What you got against Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting. I'm like, what's wrong with
you? Michael, I don't understand it. I wish I could explain it. I don't like his movies. Don't know him at all. I won't say I don't like him because that's not fair. I just don't like his movies. But that's just me. I don't get it.
Movies.
Yeah, I know so many do. I mean, he's famous.
Love him.
Okay, that's all we got to say about that.
I think he's amazing.
Okay, honey. And he was good as Shaft 1? In the first one?
Yes. And I haven't seen it since the early 2000s, but I really enjoyed him in that film. When I saw the trailer for the new one, which seems like it's going to have a bit more comedy in it, I'm down to go see it. I'm excited for it and looking forward to what they're going to do with it.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back for our final segment of the Mom and Michael Hour in just a moment. It is now 10:51 as we wrap up our movie talk tonight with the Mom and Michael Hour. Michael, Cold Pursuit is the one new movie we didn't talk about, and of course it's starring Liam Neeson. And it only made $10,800,000. And I shouldn't say only, that's still a significant amount of money to me. But do you think that he's in the news right now for what he said about wanting to kill a black person for whomever the black person was that raped his white friend. And he admitted that he felt this way years ago. And now his red carpet was canceled and so much more. Do you think this is why this movie isn't doing well?
No, actually. It's probably not doing well because it's just not a great film. He kind of wasn't as famous. And then he did Star Wars Episode I, and that was fine and well. And then he did Taken.
Yeah, the series.
it remade his entire career. It was a huge box office success, and no one saw it coming. And ever since then, he's basically been playing the exact same character in different settings. So there was Taken on a Plane. Well, first of all, there's Taken 1, 2, and 3. Then Taken on a Plane, which was called something else. It was called, I don't know, Train Stop, whatever it was. But it basically, the premise was Taken on a Plane. And so in this case, it's the same sort of thing where it's like Taken, but on a construction site. So if it didn't do well, it's probably more because people are either tired of seeing him play this character or the film wasn't that great. But I don't think that particular controversy has gotten a wide enough spread to have tanked this film this weekend.
I've been trying to figure out the poster. You know how I am about posters. And this one for Liam Neeson, Cold Pursuit, I can't tell if he's dragging a person of color, if he's dragging a woman by her hair. I don't know if he's sitting someone up. I have to learn more about this poster because I don't get it. Have you seen it?
I have not seen the actual poster. I have seen the trailer for it. The trailer looks solid. When I saw it, I was like, oh, I get it. It's a Taken, but he's in construction, or whatever the premise of this one is. So I haven't seen that. That seemed like that wouldn't be your first few options seem like that's not what this film would be about, or rather that image would not be what they put out there. So I don't know. I have to look more into the controversy around him right now. I might still, maybe I won't watch it in theaters, but if it comes on TV and I have time, I could see myself watching one of these films or on a plane, because generally these types of films are quite entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. So there have been three new movies, 1, 2, 3, really. The first movie that made the most money this week, the second and the third. But there's one more. We have to talk about the fourth. And it's unusual to have four brand new movies come out on the same weekend. The Prodigy is what it's called. It made $6 million. And this is one of those horror films, right?
Yes, horror film, suspense thriller, if you will. It didn't do nearly as well as they were hoping for this one. I saw a trailer for this film maybe about a month or so ago, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we've kind of seen that before. I wasn't too excited about it. And I'm guessing that's maybe what caused the numbers not to be that great, because it just wasn't a strongly compelling trailer. So we'll see how this one plays out as time goes on.
You know, you and I have to do at least a half an hour on horror movies with children in them. You know, we need to follow up and see if these children have lost their minds. You know, as the actors, has this really challenged them? No, seriously, there seems to be children in so many of these horror movies where they have to scream and appear to be scared to death. And I just wonder if it affects them at all.
I'm sure it does, but it also affects their college education, because they can pay for it.
Yeah, but seriously, what was the woman's name? Tatum, a famous actress in that Taxi movie.
Tatum O'Neal.
She talks today about playing this, you know, what was she, 12 years old or 13 years old, something like that, this prostitute or something. Forgive me for not remembering exactly what it was about. But she talks about how that really affected her life, you know? And I just wonder, with horror movies, how are these children handling this?
But, I mean, it's not just horror films. I mean, there's all kinds of roles with children in film and TV that where they have to be around extreme situations, or you know, war, or all kinds of strife.
Yeah, but Home Alone, you can't even compare it to that, right?
No, of course not. But there are many, many movies where there are kids in them which depict adult situations. So I don't think it's fair to just say horror films are the ones that are, you know, doing something wrong in terms of having kids there. And also the contracts around the kids in regards to what their parents have to agree to is very, very clear. So if we were to have a conversation about that and try to point a finger, I think it'd be more about the guardians of these kids, because they're the ones agreeing to put their child in that situation.
Yeah, I absolutely want to talk about that. So you and I need to start getting that together, because I think it's worth talking about. Well, Michael, we've run out of time. And, you know, it's my favorite hour is to visit with you. You guys have had a lot of rain out there, a lot of mudslides. How is the weather now?
It is still raining.
It's still raining? Pouring rain in Seattle. Can you believe that?
Oh, I've seen the pictures. It looks like a movie set, or like someone just painted the snow out
yeah.
there. I mean, it looks amazing.
You know, I have to call our friends out there tomorrow
yes.
and see how they're doing with that.
yeah.
They ran out of Minnesota because of that. So
right, and there it is. Snow everywhere.
Well, we have run out of time, son. Just know that I love you. I'm thinking about you, and I love, love, love talking with you right here on CCO.
I love you, too. Talk to you soon.
That is my son, Michael Battle. Of course, if you want to go check out our podcast, where do they go? Where did they go, Jonathan?
WCCORadio.radio.com, or you can type in Geraldine Steele WCCO in a Google search.
Exactly. It's been a pleasure, everyone. Take care of you this week. This is nothing to play with this weather. So, you know, wrap up, take care of you, and I cannot wait to be on with you next week. Until then, sleep well tonight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.